Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Margaret. So if you send us a review and give us a 5-star review, I will read it. Just like this one from Demi. Margaret has been an amazing, outstanding voice in the LGBTQ community. The topics are very current. Hearing her POV is enlightening. Her guests are also from all walks of life, so you'll never know who you will hear from next. Well, thank you, Demi. And please write us a review and I'll read it. Thank you.
An Erios original.
You want to be feared because then you can relax.
Oh my god. There is a psychosexual power in this.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. Today we have a very special guest. It's Naomi Ekperigin. She is an actor, stand-up comedian, and writer. She's been all over TV on Broad City and Difficult People, and she is really funny. She is really cool, and she has a podcast called Couples Therapy, and she's on our show today. I'm excited to talk to her, so enjoy. Thank you for joining me today. I'm really enjoying all of your pandemic shopping and living updates. I want to go shopping with you if I could, like, just because I want to see what's in your cart. I want to see all of the things that you have. I love your take on it. And I'm so horrified of all of the people who act like we're not living in a pandemic. I know exactly what you mean, by the way, too.
I know. It's like, it's really wild, the just casual nature of all of this, like literally browsing for food.
Like, and who are these people? What do they think they're doing?
Okay, before the pandemic, though, were you like that? Like, when you shopped, were you really like just relaxing, checking out what's around?
No, I've never been like that. Ever.
Exactly.
I have never been like that. Like, it's like, who has time to do that? Who has the kind of life to like read a package? Like, I'm like, no, like I don't have that kind of time. I mean, I love to eat, but I'm not like somebody that like really pays that much attention to it.
Yes, you know,
like
I should. Yes. So it's kind of more of a chore for you even. Like you're like, oh, I gotta like find food. Yes. Okay.
Right.
I hear you on that. Like it's funny because it's like I find grocery shopping always to be overwhelming just because especially I think whenever you're in a big store too, and it's like, okay, well, I don't know where everything is. And like, because I didn't even like it to begin with. Now you tell me I might get the Rona. Well, I'm really like going through now. Now we're like cooking with gas. There's no time to peruse.
And then like I have a whole thing where I'm in, you know, I get in my car and then I'm just sitting there and then I kind of disinfect everything. As soon as I get back in my car,
right.
I was just sitting there and this This young man walks past my car, like right in front of the car, and then spits a huge, like, you know, grabs it from like inside of his throat, like clean, like does a huge, like scouring spit from like up inside of his sinus. And I see it come out and like in the air.
Margaret,
see it land on the ground.
It has form, shape, and heft.
And like a balloon and like a web. And lands on the ground. And I see it. And it actually webs over, like Spider-Man webs over a bush that I'm parked in front of.
Dude.
And I'm backing out of the space looking at it. And then somebody pulls in the space. And I almost opened the window and pointed, but I didn't want to open the window.
Of course, right. You
and
can't say, let it in.
And let the virus in. So I didn't. I was like, I wish I could call the person and go, you know what? When you walk by that bush, there might be Rona, but I don't know. But I don't want to let it in.
Exactly.
But there might, I didn't know.
That's honestly, it's like so, imagine like the gall to actually do that in a time of a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like that loud, that brazen, that full. I'm surprised
that's
he wasn't just like tackled in a citizen's arrest.
It was like, and he was a young, like a handsome, young, white boy. Like probably 22, 23 year old, young, handsome man, but like, you know, fresh from an audition or something. Some model cattle call.
Oh my god!
You know, and I'm already like horrified by saliva. I'm a horrified germaphobe anyway.
Oh really? Okay, so you were already you were already predisposed.
But I think as comedians, don't you think that we're pretty much like we have strong immune systems because we're always on a microphone?
I know, it's so funny because I had a show, like the last show at Live Show was March 4th. Or, yeah, and I had just come back from New York and where, you know, and I was like, had done a bunch of shows in New York where, you know, at one point I walked into this, I was in a bar and it was packed as hell. And even though it was cold outside, the heat was cranked up. So it was like sweaty. And I literally joked, I was like, if this COVID thing is happening, it's happening tonight because the place was so full and it was such a breeding ground. And then it's just 10 people in a row putting their mouth to the same thing.
Plus, it's like we all have been in different cities all over the world, and all comedians have been on the same microphone for years. So right. It's like we all share the same germs because we're all on these one microphones with our hands and our mouths.
Right.
So I really feel like all comedians, we're all kind of safe because we have that.
That's a good way to look at it because I was thinking, like, have you ever seen anyone clean a mic? I never have. In all my years, I have never once seen, like, the bar owner, the comedian. I've never seen anybody wipe down a microphone.
I have in, only in a context of music. I have seen singers, because a lot of singers are so paranoid about catching any kind of illness. So their vocal, because their vocal cords are so precious and any kind of shift in like health is going to affect the sound. But with comedians, nobody has any sort of respect for our instruments. So we don't give
a shit. We don't respect ourselves, our bodies, our choices. So that does check out. Margaret, you know, shortly before we were in the pandemic, I saw you and it was so funny because I saw you because like originally, you know, we were going to do this in person. I saw you on Sunset. I turn and who I see first is Lucia. I see the puppy first and then literally I look at this dog and I go, I got so excited. And then I kind of look up because like my face is already at a 10. It's like very extra. And then I look up and I go, Margaret. And it was like a double layer. And then I was like, and of course, like I didn't want to approach you like out in the street. But then I also like, I was obsessed with her. She was just so petite and was wearing a coat. And I like lost it. Oh, I was in heaven. And I just need you to know that was a very exciting time to run it. Like, do people come up to you a lot because of her? Like, it's kind of both. It's like between you and us, like, but her, I mean.
Yes. No, she is such a star, and she just only knows love.
I just got a dog within the last year. August 30th will be our one-year anniversary.
That dog's haircut is so, your friend was so right about the Christy Baranski.
I know. I was like, literally we picked her up. I was like, excuse me, who is this? Especially because the woman who does her cut, she's done it a couple times, but you know, you get different people. She like really wants to make Mabel look like a doll. Like her, she's a young woman who's like, she's so cute. And so she'll just like shape her to look so just like a prancing ballerina.
It's such a Rachel. Like, it's a real, like a it's like a beer can Rachel. Like, it's like a very big round brush.
Yes. Yes. So,
who's like the Hadids? You know, the Bella Hadid and
Gigi
Hadid?
Yes, the Gigi and Bella.
Their dad. It's the father's hair.
I have never seen the father's hair. Does he have a look?
But the look is very, I mean, it's so chic. It's okay. A very beautiful, I loved it. Isn't the dog very beautiful and calming during the time of disaster now?
I think so. I mean, it's interesting because without her, right, I think I really would never leave the house, which I know would not be good for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I would just, you know, there'd just be no reason to. So at least with her, 3 times a day, I'm, you know, getting fresh air.
That's perfect. Did she sleep in your bed?
Of course. Oh, honey.
Yeah,
right in the middle.
They have to. I love that feeling. I love that feeling. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to convince them that, that you know, that they're safe with the toothpaste. Like, it's, like, very hard to also find the right kind of, like, toothbrush. So we had to sort of go through, like, I sort of started with the chicken toothpaste on a Q-tip.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, like, letting her try to eat that. And then I realized it's kind of better when she's a little bit sleepy because then she doesn't know when I'm coming at, like, I'm coming with it. So it's a little date rapey. Like, it's a little, it's a little, like, roofies to hide, like, you know, like, it's kind of like when she's kind of tired, I, like, come at her with it. I've been date raped before, so I feel like I can make the jokes about that.
I was literally on board. I was like, safe space, safe
space. I've had quite a few.
We're not saying this is a good thing. We're not proud of it.
I'm not saying that it's good, but I mean, I've had the experience. I mean, it's, you know, like, I feel like when you have these experiences, you can make jokes about, I don't know. It's such a weird time about, like, making jokes because I haven't been on stage as a comic in so long that, like, and then when I was watching your pandemic videos, I was like, oh, I want to do comedy. Like, I was like, oh, I want to do comedy. Like, it makes me feel sad. Like, I'm like, where are we? Like, don't you feel like, oh, the urge? Like, how do you, how is your feeling about that?
Yes, like, that's why I've become like a front-facing camera Instagram comedian. I didn't see this for my future, but it's like that feeling of wanting to get ideas out and wanting to just like, because in essence, it's like a kernel of an idea that, you know, in a different world, right, I would actually build into something, but it's just that feeling of like wanting to do that again, wanting to put stuff out, wanting to get feedback. You know, there's a little bit of an emptiness in here. We got to fill it.
And it's really like what we're supposed to do. It's like comedians really need to do comedy. It's like a weird vacuum if we don't. And it's all of us that are like this. Like, we're all just fucking frozen in amber.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I am in Pompeii. Stuck like in the ash.
Yeah.
Like, the volcano has exploded and I'm just mid-coitus stuck.
You would be found mid-coitus. Yeah. You would have been unearthed mid-coitus.
Totally just stuck there. Like, it's so tragic, but the only thing that makes me feel good about it is that all of us are in the same place.
Right. Definitely. I think that that's what's also been interesting, or why I felt more comfortable kind of talking online in a way that I hadn't, because it feels like this is the one time that we are all, as even just a community, a collective, a culture, having a shared experience. You know?
Right.
It's almost like, it's kind of like when there are award shows and everyone's like tweeting stuff. We're pretty much all watching the same thing. And so it's that feeling of, like, there's already a shared background, and that is very rare, right? Like, how often do you actually, like, us and total strangers just be like, yeah, we're in the exact same place. Like, if we believe in science, you know what I mean?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's something that unites us. And we've never had media that unites us in this way before. We never had social media in this, to this extent.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And a way that we could know something globally in a millisecond. And
right.
So that's true as well. You know, that's like a miracle thing.
I find myself so resistant to social, especially at comedically to start. Like, I know when Twitter first came out and I was like, I can't be pithy, you know, and so many people were using it to make jokes. And then initially for Instagram, I'm not someone who thinks that way where like any little funny thing I see, I'm like, snap a pic or just, who wants to see what I ate for dinner? Like, I didn't know how to use it. I didn't get it. Do you feel like you were like on board from the jump? You know?
No, not at all. No, I didn't really understand. I'm like, why would this, but I'm very slow to adopt things. Like, I just never really figured it out. Like, I was like, why? You know, I just right. never understood.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's not going to last. Like, I'm so, I just never think things are going to last. Like, oh, that's not going to last. Like, I really, in the 90s, I thought the internet, oh, that's not going to last. The information superhighway, that's not going to last. Like, it was like this weird thing of like, I'm such a naysayer about things, but it's just dumb because it's like, why do I think that's not going to last? And it's not, you know, there's not bounded, it's bounded any kind of reason or anything. It's just this idea that, like, I'm just not willing to embrace new technology. I mean, there's certain things that I think, oh, yeah, that probably was right. I guess, like, oh, Periscope. I was like, oh, that's not going to last.
True. Very good call.
Twitter, yes. I kind of thought, oh, I see how this would
it is,
work.
It's just like, it's just wild. It's just weird. It feels like a strange, it's like to have a connection, but then also feel like no one's real, if that makes sense, you know, because they're not tangible. Yeah. So it's yeah. so funky when you're like, all these people like know me, especially when, you know, I do feel like as a comedian, as my personality, like, and you're also like a person, like, you're yourself, right? Like, obviously mm-hmm. heightened, written, but the same.
Yeah.
So to me, when I am presenting, it doesn't feel like I'm presenting a different side or giving you the performative version of something.
Right. And then it's kind of like this weird thing of people are so, I don't know, people are so weird and shitty to comedians too, because it's like, we're like just presenting our true selves. I mean, when you're a personal as political comedian, people mm-hmm. are really hostile towards, especially women yeah. of color. They're very hostile towards progressive women of color comedians because there's a threat there. There's a
yeah.
threat inherent. There's
yeah.
like a threat to the establishment. There's a threat to the patriarchy. There's a threat to sort of like established whiteness that exists that is unsaid, but very blatant. So it's like this weird thing of like, you know, you're just a perceived threat underlying,
right.
even
right.
though you're not like even saying anything.
Right.
You know?
But then that's why I also feel like there's even more pressure to be funny. Like, meaning
right.
the joke has to be 10 times better because they're already like tight or they're already
right.
defensive. So
right.
that's also like, and I know that would just, it really messed with me in stand up for a very long time, this feeling that whatever I say, it's got to be like the tightest, most perfect, most whatever, you know,
right.
and just,
right.
it was like such a mind game. And then I said, you know, like I had to really get used to being like, go up and see what happens and
yeah.
risk. I didn't used to do it. I really didn't used to do it. I used to really like have my stuff planned out. I would maybe play for a minute or two in the middle, but I never felt, I was too scared because I was like, they don't like me. I have to prove myself to them every time. And there's a difference
yeah.
between obviously wanting to do well and being ready and then assuming the audience hates you. It's not
well,
a good
and I would just feel like so bad if I bombed because it was like I failed and then it was like my existence was a failure. And then I would just be like, what is my point? But then I would see like these guys bomb who were like considered geniuses. And
yeah.
then I'm like, you know, and their bombing was like considered like the mastery of all masters, like, you know, and all of, you know, these like open micers would like wax poetically about how all these heroes would bomb and how they were there to watch them bomb and how, how great it was. And I would think about like, God, you know, it's like the fact that it, you know, we're so hard on ourselves, it's kind of like we just, I was like internalizing that patriarchy and internalizing
yeah.
that sort of like the racism, sexism
yeah.
inherent and the sort of like the degree of like anti color, anti female,
yes.
anti all that shit inside is so prevalent in comedy.
You know, just from your stand-up and stuff, like, I get the impression your parents were also hard on you.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom too. Like, I was instilled, like, from a very early age, I was told, like, especially because I went to private schools and shit. She was like, Naomi, these white people are not looking out for you. Nobody wants you to succeed. It is on you. And when you
mm-hmm.
tell that to a goddamn 8-year-old Margaret, honey, it's too much pressure.
It's too much pressure. It's too much pressure. And then you're like, so you're like, okay, but I'm going to succeed in this. And you're going to like, apply that drive, even though it's something different from what you're sort of perceived like you should do,
right.
you're still going to apply that laser focus to it. And then, you know, you, you put yourself on the line for that. Right. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
When you said you hadn't been on stage in a while, you meant like pre-Coco? Or like just because of it?
The last show that I did was maybe March 17th. And then, well, I did a show that doesn't really count last week that was like horrible. And it was like this, it wasn't really a show. It was like kind of like a fake show for a reality show that was not really a show. It was sort of a, but it was, you know, a closed environment. We had all been tested. So I was in a bubble.
Uh-huh.
And it was a really awful thing because I wasn't well received and it wasn't a well received show. And I was trying to basically help these guys sort of learn to do stand up. And they were like shitting on me because and it was like all for naught. It was a whole horrible experience.
Jeez.
And I came out of that so angry.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, but you know, when you do bad as a comic, usually you can go up the next night and it's all fine.
Right, right.
But
right,
now
right.
I didn't have the ability. And so now I have this like fucking pulsating rage.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That I don't have any place to put.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, it's like when you have a bad show as a comic, it's like, it's a deeply disturbing thing that you can rectify right away by doing another set. And in New York, like you can do another set in 10 minutes.
That night. Exactly. Exactly. That was, but I think the thing is in moving to LA, that's the thing I had to adjust to because I found, you know, even on my best week in LA, it was maybe 3 times a week of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so true. Cause it was like, well, and I would always feel like, okay, the first show, you want to just like do the old stuff that makes you feel good. You get the laughs, you boost, right? Then show number two, you got that confidence, you play, you have some fun. And then show number three, you take some of the play and test it again, right? But it was about preserving my ego, knowing that I'm going to sit down for a little while after this and it can't be too rough.
Right, right. It's like, you know how to play to your, what you need emotionally as a comedian, but also what you need to grow as an artist, which I think is important. But now in this environment, we don't really have that. So we just sort of, like, I'm realizing even after so many years of being a comedian, I actually still need to temper my personality and my ego to performance. Like, and that's actually like a crushing thing to realize, that I still need comedy as an emotional boost and crutch. Like, I'm kind of devastated.
Oh, no. Yeah. You were, like, hoping you were on the other side. Like, meaning
I was hoping
you could
that
do it without it. Good or bad, you were like, you had your equilibrium, but not so much.
Maybe not.
I was hoping you did too.
Maybe that's good though. Yeah. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's good that you never are free, which maybe that's actually better because I don't know if I want
to
be free.
You have to be free. We need to be free.
No, but maybe when you're free, then it's like, maybe then it's over. Maybe then you don't care. Because maybe when you're free, then maybe you become a director. When you're making commercials.
Right. I always thought, like, okay, if I was free, then I would say anything I wanted and, like, let the chips fall where they may. I think I'm still so preoccupied with being liked that sometimes
it's almost, you care about being liked, but you also care about laughs and you also care about being respected and you also care about being feared.
Yes.
It's about a lot of different things, but it's really, I think it really comes down to being feared.
Do you like being feared? Because I feel like I was so excited to talk to you, but also scared. But then I also was like, I feel like that's Margaret's vibe. Like, she wants you to be like a little scared, like for fun.
Yes. But it's also fun because it's like, you want to be feared because then you can relax.
Right. Oh my God. There is a psychosexual power in this, in being able to relax.
It's like a dominatrix thing.
Yeah.
But it's also like, then the audience like wants to please you. So then they're on
That's
their toes
true.
And then
That's
you
true.
Can, you can, you know, give them a little bit and then, you know, then it's, and you can self-deprecate and then they can relax. And it's a give and take.
Yeah. It's a give and take. Ain't that the truth? Oh my goodness.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
How have you been passing your time? Like, what is, I'm just asking you questions now. Like, what are you doing to feel good? Because this, like, not being able to perform is, like, real. And this feeling of, like, just in general, filling the days. Because I'm just not an internal person. Like, you've written before and done all that kind of stuff. And I'm, like, trying to do writing stuff. But then I'm like, ew, I have to be with my own brain. Gross.
That's hard.
It's gross. Hard.
It's really gross. It's so stupid. I've been doing sous vide.
What's that?
Sous vide is a water immersion when you cook food in water water bath.
Oh, yes, how you cook sousvide. Yes, yeah. Okay, I've heard about this.
So you're I cook food in a slow water bath, and then I sear it on the grill.
Wait, what do you mean you cook it in a slow, like, what's slow water bath?
Like, I've been cooking, like, cherry tomatoes in 185 degrees for an hour, and then I blast it in a 450 degree oven.
Okay,
and
I've been doing this. Wild. This is science.
I've been doing this so much that I broke my professional thermidor. And I actually have to have somebody come out and look at it. And it's so stupid. So I've been doing shit like that. Like, I've been, like, you know, going and doing, like, some 60-hour short rib. Cooking. Like, these cooks that, like, last for 60 hours. I mean, this is just dumb now.
Is it better? Like, when you eat it, you're like, yes, it was worth that time.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really, it is good, but it's gone in 10 minutes. Like, I'm eating it. It's only me eating it.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
just like, I'm eating it so fast that, I mean, I might as well just microwave everything.
Right. So,
it is making me have to go to the store more.
Right. Yeah, no. You got to go to the store once a month, okay? Can you get to a place where you go once a month and then you're freezing some stuff? You cannot be out in these streets.
It's so bad. But then I had been going, also getting some food online, which actually had been good. And then I ordered a goose online.
A goose?
Yeah, a goose is really good. It's got a lot of fat, mm-hmm. but it was really delicious. So I ordered goose.
And do you just cook it like chicken?
Well, there's different goose parts. And then I ordered a bunch of goose fat.
Wait, separate? You ordered the goose fat separate?
Well, yeah. Well, then I ordered a goose confit, which is a goose cooked in fat. And then I took I separated the goose confit from the fat, and I ate goose parts from and the goose fat separately. And I took the goose fat, and then I made vegetables in the goose fat.
Oh, my God. This is wild. Also, like, it feels like part dark web, part Food Network, that you're just getting these items.
I think I want to buy like a capon. And then maybe a silky chicken. A capon is like a big chicken. It's like there's like different kinds of chickens. And then there's
This is too much. I can't. I'm not ready to face a world with multiple types of chicken. I would need one, just the one. So you get a big capon. But where are you getting it from? Like, you're going to like a farmer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, direct from a farm.
Well, there's like goose. There's definitely like goose distributors. There's different like goose farms. But I got into eating goose when I was doing shows in Hong Kong. They have really, really delicious goose preparations. It's a very big Christmas kind of like Hong Kong thing. And it's really, really good. So that's what I really like. I love Chinese food, but that's a very like delicious thing, but they don't really have it in America.
Uh-huh, I see. I would risk the Rona right now for, like, some good food. That's been my thing, because it's like, because you can't really go anywhere or do anything. I'm like, all right, like, because then going to pick up food becomes like an activity. You know what I mean? Like, I went in the car and I went to a place. And so
it's hard to know, like, what we can do, like, going, like, I also found, like, food delivery to be, it's a little bit hit or miss. And I think because a lot of food distribution is, a lot of it's shut down because mm-hmm. they're not, performing at like as high as a rotation. So you're not getting as high quality of food as normal. So some things are just not as fresh. Some things are not as like, you know, it's just not as popping as it usually is.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why it feels less.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm very glad we went down this food journey, because it's just my feeling just been like, it's just so interesting. It's just so hard to like think about anything else or talk about anything else. And then I'm always like, but we all know it's the same thing. It's like when you meet, you know, you see someone's like, hi, how are you doing? Which is obviously polite and what we do. But what can you really say to that question? You know what I mean? You're like, good. Like, you know, like I just like shake my hand and go, you know, just a sound.
But this is like a good time to talk about that, because this is what we're, this and the thing about this time is like, we need to like get through this, and then we need to get through like all of these other things. Like the whole thing of like what I feel is like missing is like what happened, you know, what happened to this idea of we're going to like get rid of systemic racism? Like this whole feeling of like we're going to crush systemic racism seemed to, we're still talking about that. We need to talk.
I mean, that's the thing. There's so much, you know, especially like with everything going on in Portland, you know, and like secret police taking people in unmarked vans. I mean, it's terrifying, but then it feels like it's also compounded by the fact that to gather does pose that extra, you know, worry about, you know, getting sick and stuff. And it feels like they're capitalizing on that by like doing these things. But it does feel like it's like, okay, what are we going to do when this is all said and done? And it really did feel like right after George Floyd, you know, I think part of the outrage of George Floyd was black people and people paying attention is like, we hate it, we're unhappy, but it's nothing new. I call this time like the Caucasian awakening, because it's not like suddenly I started to care about who I was, that that I was seen as equal. It feels to me like, you know, white folks finally realized, oh, how bad this is. And that was only because they were stuck in the damn house. You know what I mean? Like suddenly when you're in the house and you can't distract yourself and you have to see it. You know, it was like to me the equivalent of in the 60s when, you know, the advent or, you know, early in television, when you could see black people being hosed in Alabama, you know, and like in the South, people had to see that shit happen to then go, oh, snap, for real? And then it was suddenly like, oh, we've got to stop this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really just, you know, as you said, like, we still got shit to do. It's only begun. But then how do you stay at that level of vigilance, intensity, anger, sadness? Because that'll kill me. And that's what they want. That's what they want, Margaret. They want my ass in an early grave. Because I got high blood pressure and started freaking out. You know? Because I was I was just at a 10 for 6 months straight. And it's like, how you know,
how do we balance like that rage and stay focused on it, but not burn out? Like, let's not burn out on it so we can stay on that fight. But it's interesting how much that whole, like, you know, it gets sort of like you get thrown into confusion too. That whole thing of the fight about like posting the black square, don't post the black square. And then all it was like, I'm like, well, this has become all white people fighting. Now it's just white people fighting and white people fighting about each other about who is more woke.
Right.
And then it was like this thing of like, why did white people suddenly now make it all about them again? And it was really funny.
Yes. It is really wild. It's like, it will be interesting when we all like come together in person again, because it does feel like so much is performative right now, because in part not being able to go anywhere or whatever, but it does feel like, okay, I have to show my allegiance, my alliance via social media.
Yeah.
But then there's certainly there are people who do that where I'm like, I work with you and I know you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's easy to post a picture, but where are you when it comes to like treating your Black coworkers like people?
Right. And it's sort of like this weird thing of the virtue signaling and canceling and the thing. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It seems like this weird course of continually like virtue signaling by canceling and canceling by virtue signaling. It's a very, right. It's a very strange thing. Like, I don't know. Like to me, I just want to opt out entirely and just get on something else.
I know. I feel that same way. I feel like, you know, when it was like Black Square or various posts, I don't show my feelings in that way or show my idea. I just don't do it that way because in some ways it feels like, okay, you have to do it for every single thing. And mm-hmm. I also kind of assume that the people who follow me, who like my comedy are kind of already on board. So who am I reaching? Right. Yeah. If I was, you know, if I grew up in a conservative Christian town and, you know, everyone around me was like, look at those looters. Yes. When I post, I'm showing my world who I am and I'm taking a risk. Mm-hmm. But as I am now in a space where, you know, I would assume most of the people in my social orbit agree. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, well, like what is this? What is this doing for who? Mm-hmm. Is it me?
Yeah.
Is it making me feel better?
Yeah, I know. What can we do? I mean, what are you doing like now? Like, what is your day like? Like, what is your time in quarantine and time now? Like, what do you do in your days? Like, for me, like, my days are basically doing the 60-hour cooks.
Right.
Doing the I do a lot of spend a lot of time doing a lot of Netflix, a lot of I have like many streaming service. I finally bent and I have a Viki pass, so I do a lot of K-dramas.
Oh,
Viki is I got the Cocoa K-drama, all K-drama. It's all Asian TV shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I watch a million K-dramas like all day long, which is kind of great, but it's so long day. A very, very many, many K-dramas. Do you have like a thing of the, what do you binge anything?
Oh my God, of course I do, honey. I'm just like living on, so recent, in the last couple years, I've discovered anime. So I've been watching a lot of anime.
Yeah.
Hulu has a lot of the dubs, and I know that there's a lot of dub versus subs, really factions. I like my dubs. I'm just gonna tell you, I like my dubs.
That's all good.
Mm-hmm. Part of my relax. So I watch a lot of my anime dubs. My Hero Academia is my favorite show of them all. But then I'm also watching Kakegurui, which was like a high school for gamblers. Like a lot of high school for blank, where kids have like powers and do things that don't make sense.
Okay.
And then any like British crime drama.
Ooh,
I just finished one called Giri Haji. And it was like a Japan.
Yeah.
Oh my God, girl.
That was
so good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like into it, and I like, you know, but those of course are like short. I don't know. Are K-dramas also like British shows, like 6 to 8 episodes, 6 to 10 episodes?
No, K-dramas are 16.
Okay.
And the episodes are an hour and a half, but there's only one season.
But that's still a good binge. Like it's 16 hour binge, and a half.
Yes, yeah, that's a good binge,
Yes, that'll get you through. Like, you know, I do my podcast, Couples Therapy. Like, right, podcasting is the only thing that feels like it can just go on normally. So it's like I'm watching my dramas. I try to really give myself a sense of the days of the week, more so like a weekend versus a weekday. Like, I really try to, like, stop checking my email by, like, 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I really try to, you know, not put, you know, because it's just so easy to keep doing stuff.
Yeah,
and the time already feels fucking interminable. So it's like, okay, we're going to say Sunday fun day. But yeah, I'm like watching a lot of stuff. Honey, I started watching Shark Week. You know, you can watch Shark Week from different years on Hulu.
That's awesome.
Yep, multiple
Shark
Week.
That's really great.
It is like nature's crime drama. You know, I'm in that same energy following a predator.
I do love a British crime drama as well. I love, you know, I love some Happy Valley.
Uh-huh, yes.
I love a conflicted, I love a conflicted older woman crime drama. Yeah. Like a prime suspect. You know, I like a flawed heroine. Like a, you know, like a...
I gotta try prime suspect, because you're the second person to mention prime suspect, because a friend of mine was watching, and especially because apparently it has a lot of seasons, too. So I'm like, I gotta do that one.
That's a classic.
How do you feel about Broadchurch?
Oh, I love Broadchurch. Except, you know, Broadchurch, again, Broadchurch, I was like, there's not enough. I wanted to keep going.
Yeah.
It was so short to me.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
they do that.
It was so good. Broadchurch was so good, but I feel like the actors were too expensive. And they had to just get out. They were like, oh, we can't afford to do... Everybody was such a star.
Whenever David Tennant shows up, you know he's got the whole budget. The whole budget is David Tennant.
They had to just, like, pay him out. Like, I was like, oh, they couldn't afford to do any more episodes. That show, Broadchurch, was too good. It's so good.
I know.
I love it.
Because, like, I like procedurals, too. Like, I've seen every episode of Criminal Minds 1,000 times. Like, all I want to be is, like, a lady detective on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it is procedure. Like, they are literally, every episode's got the system. You know what's going to happen. It can be more, like, comfort viewing because even if it's, like, oh, no, a killer, you know they're going to solve it, right? Every single episode.
Yeah.
These British shows, as you said, like, complicated heroine. You're not always getting closure. You don't know who to trust.
Yeah. I love that.
It's like, yeah. It's
I
like,
love that.
You have to focus. Like, you know, normally I can, a lot of shows I can watch and, like, playing a game on my phone or some shit. Whereas I feel like with the British shows, I really have to concentrate because someone can give someone else a look and you know everything.
Yeah, it's like with the British shows, you're like, wait a second. Like, they really fucking throw you. And you're really kind of like, wait a second. And they really bring, you really have to pay attention and you're really rooting for everybody. And then you also hate everybody, too.
Yes, yes. Yes, because it's like even the people you know are bad are like so scheming, and you're kind of like, I kind of want to see how this plays out. Like, I want them to get their way. Now, would you recommend a K-drama to myself? Do you think that there's something there I could find?
I think that, well, if you like horror, I would say a good one would be The Kingdom.
Is that zombies?
That's zombies.
Okay. All right. You know, you like the third person to say The Kingdom.
The Kingdom is really good. It's really good for, it's really good for right now. It's really good about, it's actually really about leadership, which I think is really powerful right now. It's about leadership during a pandemic.
Okay. It might be too real. That might be too real, Margaret.
But it's really about how we can all step up and be the leader. And it's really kind of about calling up the leader within ourselves. And I really got a lot out of it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about calling up the leader within and standing up for what's right within. And I thought it was a really beautiful, and it's a beautiful, it's huge production values.
Okay.
And it's relatively short.
Okay.
And then I also love Itaewon Class, which I thought was really good. Itaewon Class is also Netflix. It's a K-drama.
Okay.
And it's got a lot of, it's like about the new Korea, how Korea's trying to change and grow.
Uh-huh. So
it's interesting. Prison Playbook is also about a new Korea.
Playbook.
So those are the newer ones that I think are really good.
Thank you very much. I will. Because, like, I do feel like I'm at this point, you know, we're, 5 months in, where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try it. There's so many shows where I, you know, especially you scroll, you're like, one day. And it's like, that's, today's the day, bitch. What else you doing? And so I just been watching I'm just like trying everything, as I told you, Shark Week. So I need some new shows.
Shark Week is good. I need to start One Piece. That's the anime that I have to get into. That's the
One Piece.
One Piece is the anime, or it's like an anime. And then, you know what I like too? Any sort of Eroguro anime. Not like Ero, like the kind of Junji Ito anime, like Eroguro, that like real. I read the Eroguro, like the Tomy books.
Okay.
Really gnarly, like scary. Like,
yeah.
Tomy is like the, she's like the character. There's a movie called Jennifer's Body that's like an American movie.
Yeah.
It's like really gory. But it's all about like the scary, like sort of vampire zombie chick that's like super hot, but she just eats everybody.
Yes.
And it's a manga. But I guess it's an anime too.
There's like one called, the one I liked, but it only had like one season up. It's called Parasite, The Maxim. And it's like a world where these parasites inhabit human bodies. Then like the way they do, like, it's like, you know, they look like a regular person. And then when they want to fight or kill, they just like, it's like their head splits open and it becomes this like giant creature with like sides on the end of their hand. Like, it's wild. And I was just like, give me more. And it was, but I'm always like watching that stuff because I'm like, it's cartoon. And for instance, you know, your main character will sometimes be will usually be a young person. But then I'm like, is this for actual children? I don't think it is. But then they make the focus like a high school boy, you know what I mean? Who's like,
yeah.
Because basically the main character, the parasite, tries to take him over, but doesn't finish. So it's like him and the parasite coexisting. So
I love it.
And it's like and it's like one of those where you're like, it gets pretty bloody, but really good.
I need to get into it. Yeah, I need to get into anime. And then, yeah, today is our someday. So we're getting into it. We're getting into today is someday.
Today is someday. That's poetry. That's poetry.
Yes. Where can people find out about you and where they can find your podcast and what is all the things you that they can find you at?
Well, my podcast is Couples Therapy Podcast. We talk about, like, we have comics do sets. It was a live show. Now we, you know, inquire. We're just sitting down with folks and answering relationship questions and chatting. Co-hosted by my betrothed, Andrew Beckerman. So you can go to couplestherapypod.com for episodes. Visit me on Instagram. I'm always popping off at the mouth. At Blacktress Comedy. Yes, it's Blacktress. I used to have a day job, honey. We had to be under wraps. And Twitter, at Blacktress. Yeah, those are the things, honey. Just content. Content, content, content.
Content, content. And then, and when we're done with this, let's create a procedural.
Yes. Oh my, okay.
Wouldn't that be great?
Margaret, you and I fighting fucking crime? Are you kidding me?
Wouldn't that be amazing? It would be so great.
It would be so, so good. We would literally, imagine us in just blazers. Just in blazers.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. This is for my dream journal.
We're doing it. Perfect.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
So good.
Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Melissa Stetton and original score by Garrison Starr.
Taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart. Coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark, coming out of the dark. Yeah, I'm coming out of the dark.
An Erios original.
Powered by Acast.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.